This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari.
Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Well, welcome to Wairarapa.
So welcome to Wairarapa.
This time we're going to talk about...
the elephant in the room.
The elephant
in
the room.
Well, it is time to talk about the elephant in the room.
And this is because every single public
time.
Astronomy thing we do, every school visit we go,
every breath you take, every move you make.
Well, one planet is watching you. and that planet is called...
George.
George, the seventh planet from the sun.
Planet George.
And you're thinking, I've never heard of a planet called George. Well, George was going to be its name.
George was going to be a planet.
Yeah, when, William Herschel?
Mr. William Herschel.
Yeah, when William Herschel discovered a new planet beyond the orbit of Saturn, he was going to call it George after the British king at the time, George the something. There's been a few of them. third, was it? Or second or first? I don't know, one of them.
Some, yeah.
Or the fourth, I don't know, one of them. I'm sure there's a historian listening that will go, how come you don't know?
How come you don't know?
Well, I know the recent ones. Charles III, Elizabeth II, and there was a few Georges before that. Well, anyway, well, one of those Georges, that was going to be the name of the seventh planet discovered, and it was discovered by William Herschel a long time ago. I can't remember the exact date.
George the Third.
George the Third.
Look it up.
Right. Okay. Look it up.
Good thing you can look up things. George the Third. So the first time this planet was going to name was Georgium Sirius. And you think, okay, why was it going to be named like this? What? People didn't know about Uranus long time ago?
Uranus is the one we're talking about, by the way, if you haven't caught on.
Oops.
Actually, that's known name. Now, the reason we're talking about this one is because its name is mispronounced a lot. So,
really?
Yeah. So we're referring to it as Uranus. How do you say it properly in like Latin?
Uranus.
Uranus.
And in Greek, it's Uranus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it means the starry sky.
The starry sky. And it's not it's not even a star. What were they thinking?
This is what it means. This is where the name came from. But it's not visible with your eye, without glasses, without binoculars, without telescopes. You can't really see it.
But it's magnitude 5.5, isn't it?
And?
Well, we can see up to magnitude 6.
Oh, yeah, true. Well, it's not easily visible.
Yeah. Though typically, magnitude 5.5 is hard to see.
Yeah. Like, I'd love to see you squinting and looking for it.
Now, why is it so far away? Well, it's 2.87 billion kilometers from the sun. 2.87 billion. You can round it up to 3. In astrophysics, we round everything.
Let's round up
we
to
go
3.
To the nearest.
Let's say 3 billion.
3 billion kilometers away.
That's a lot of kilometers.
That's about almost 20 times the distance of the Earth to the sun. 20 times that distance. So if you go outside and you feel the sun heat, well, you won't. The day we're recording this, you definitely won't feel the sun's heat because it's cloudy and raining. But, you know, on a clear day, if you go outside and you can feel the sun's heat, well, that's heat you're feeling has traveled 150 million kilometers across space from the sun to the Earth. So imagine how little of that heat makes it out to, you know, 20 times that distance.
But it still has day and night.
It does. And that's weird, actually, because this planet kind of rolls around the solar system, doesn't it?
Like a bicycle wheel.
Yeah. So its axis of rotation is on the side, whereas the Earth's axis of rotation on a bit of an angle, but it's roughly pointing up and down. It's on a wee bit of an angle, 23.5 degrees. Uranus is actually tipped right over.
89 degrees.
Yeah, yeah. Which is bizarre.
Bizarre.
So you imagine you've got the spinning top that's tipped over.
Just so, like a bicycle wheel.
So as it's spinning, it's that rate of spin is 17 hours and 14 minutes. So it's quicker than ours. But the problem you have is that's not the day-night cycle, because it's spinning while it's tipped over. So you actually, the day-night cycle is actually driven by its travel around the sun, which is 80 years, which is a long time.
So do we count proper nighttime, or do we count sunrises and sunsets too?
Well, it's 84 years. So what you end up with is you end up with a daytime that's 42 years long and a nighttime that's 42 years. Which is
perfect number, 42. Yeah, I like that.
Even though its spin is 17 hours and 14 minutes. So imagine this. This would be kind of weird, right? So you're it's daytime on Uranus. Now, it doesn't have a ground, so you can't be on Uranus, but kind of in Uranus.
You can be on one of his moons, like, say, Miranda. Miranda's one of them.
Well, no, we need to
Miranda, if you can hear us.
No, we need to be on the planet. So you're on a planet. You're hanging out up in the cloud tops there. So you're roughly in the same spot on the planet. And it's spinning pretty quick, 17 hours, 14 minutes. So that's quite a quick spin. What you're going to see, if you'll see a very faint sun, because remember, it's like 20 astronomical units away. So 20 times the distance from the Earth's sun. And you'll see the sun just sort of basically spinning around in a circle. It'll be tracing out a circle, which would be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Depending on where you are on the planet. If you're near the rotation axis of it, it'll be almost like the sky is just sort of rotating around every 17 hours.
Yeah.
Weirdly. Well, I mean, our sky rotates around 17 hours, but we have this day-night cycle that.
But less weirdly.
Yeah. Because the sun will be up there. It's not like it's going to kind of set and rise. And
be like a tiny star.
It's just spinning around.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For 42 years.
That's pretty crazy planet.
Yeah.
And we didn't know about it until late 1700s.
Yeah. 1781.
Yeah. Yeah. 13th of March, 1781. William Herschel was looking for variable stars.
So we should actually make the 13th of March Uranus Day.
Yeah, we should. We should. I'd like to put up a motion.
You probably shouldn't talk about motions when you're talking about the planet. Anyway, right. So 13th of March is Uranus Day.
So you can then make all your Uranus jokes.
How are we going to remember that, though? We've got to try and remember that. We have to write it down.
It's 13. You know, if we say Friday, we have to check if it was Friday the 13th, March 1781. That'll be like really funny. And the place that he discovered it was the city of Bath. So how do we know these, you couldn't see it before? Well, traditionally in English and in Latin languages, we have the names of the days of the weeks are Monday is the moon day, luna, right? Lun, lundi, montag. Tuesday, it's the day of Mars. Mardi, martedì,
Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Why do you keep looking at me?
I'm looking at you because you're the only person. I can look at Marina's.
Tuesday. It's like Tuesday. After Monday. Yeah. Everyone knows that.
Wednesday is Odin's day, but also in Latin languages is Mercredi, Mercoledì. So that's Mercury.
Where's the weeds come from then?
From some Germanic gods.
Okay.
Odin's day. Okay. Odin's day. Then we have Thor's day.
Oh, yeah, because he's made of
Oak. Or yeah. Jupiter's day. Jeudi, Jovedi, Joy. And then we have Vendredi. Everybody knows about that one. Friday, Venera, Viner. These names.
Yeah.
So Venus.
Is that Frida?
That's
Freya.
Friday. Freya.
Freya. Like the bread. Freya's bread.
Like Freya's bread. Yeah. Yeah. I hope we're allowed to say this.
Bread day.
Yum.
It's not an advertisement for Braised Bread.
But it's really yum. And then we have Saturn's Day, which makes sense.
So Saturn got a weekend.
Saturn got the weekend. Yeah. Excellent.
Lucky
yeah,
Saturn.
And then you have
poor moon got
poor
Monday.
Moon Monday, yeah. Well, depends on which religion you're.
Which is a suckfulest day of the week. Yeah, we'll give that one to the moon.
Yeah, give one to the moon. And then you got Sunday.
Earth Day only gets one a year.
Earth Day only gets one a year. Very unlucky.
Yeah.
So that's how the days of the week were named. We're named after these planets, but they didn't have enough planets. Had they known about Uranus and Neptune, I'm sure they would have.
I'm glad that didn't happen. Like, really. That would have been, wouldn't have been the best. Hey, what's really interesting, though, so back in the day, so before William Herschel discovered the seventh planet, they had kind of figured out actually how big the solar system was. So by 1781, so if you imagine, we'll go back a year before that. So 1780 on the 13th of March. So William hasn't found Uranus
yet. He doesn't even
yet.
Know.
Doesn't know about it.
Uranus exists.
Well, he's looking for comets.
He was making an observing list for variable stars.
But anyway, by that point, we'd figured out pretty robustly actually how big the solar system was, because the Earth-Sun distance had been calculated based on a whole pile of work, I'm sure we've talked about before, that was done in the 1760s. And I think it was by about 1773, I think it was, or maybe 1775, the Scottish mathematician, whose name escapes me, had poured over all the work on measuring the transit of Venus and worked out that the Earth-Sun distance at 93 million miles, not that anyone uses miles, but 150 million kilometers, right? So we knew then.
Yeah, that's much better.
Yeah, so we knew. But the important thing is, once they figured out the Earth-Sun distance, they then knew how far away all the other planets were as well.
Yep.
So all the way out to Saturn. So we knew the size of the solar system back then. So we knew the solar system was a couple of billion and about 2.5 billion kilometers across its diameter. Along comes William Herschel and doubles it. Makes the solar system, almost 6 billion kilometers across by discovering this extra planet. And he was looking for comets at the time, but he discovers it.
No, he wasn't. He was actually looking for double stars.
But didn't he think it was a comet?
No, he did think it was a comet, but he was actually the reason why he was observing, he was looking for double stars and variable stars.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
One of those.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, that's incredible.
So it's a big planet, right? It's four times wider than Earth. So imagine you stack up four Earths together. That's the diameter. You'd fit about 60 Earths inside of Uranus. And it's about almost 15 times the mass. So it has more gravity. So mass is all about gravity. Well, gravity is all about mass, right? So you've got more mass, you've got more gravity. It's surface gravity. It doesn't have a surface, but it's cloud top gravity, I guess. Because it's not very dense, when you're at the cloud tops, that gravity you would feel is actually less than the Earth. So if you were in a blimp, because that's probably what you'd need, right? Spacecraft / blimp at the cloud tops of Uranus, you could actually jump higher than you can on Earth. It's kind of how gravity works. The further you get away from that center of the mass, the less you're experiencing. And because Uranus is, not very dense, the gravity you feel is not as much as the Earth, which is kind of interesting, isn't it?
Mm.
Even though it's 15 times heavier.
Wow.
Yeah.
So who can we nominate for the prize of the most unpopular idea that has caused many planetarium presenters so much grief?
The French.
No. It is the German astronomer Johann Elert Bode. He was the one who named Uranus, or Uranus. Uranus.
Yeah. I guess George wasn't so popular back then.
Well, no, and it was the thoughts were kind of like divided, because some people wanted to call it Herschel, but you can't really, do that. And Herschel himself wanted to call this new planet Georgium Sidus, which means George's star.
But it's not a star.
As I know, it's not a star. Well, planet is not a star.
He knew it wasn't
planet
a star.
Are,
he knew it was a planet.
Planet comes from Greek planethos, which means wandering star.
Again, wrong.
Again.
Not a star.
Right, so not a star. Not a star. So Mr. Bode, if anybody speaks German there natively, please let us know how to pronounce his name.
Bode Nebula.
Yeah.
Isn't that M82? Bode. M82, isn't it?
He came up with this name of Uranus, which was actually the grandfather of Jupiter in Greek mythology.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, Kronos. Yeah. So Kronos was Saturn.
No planet.
He was the father of
breed, right?
Kronos. Really?
Yeah, it's not really.
But the protoplanetary nebula.
Grandfather.
What about the supernova explosion? How is that?
So the name actually is in Greek mythology, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So the name is in, this is what it means. It means the starry sky.
But the grandfather of Jupiter.
Yeah, and these names are really funny because they're like from all over the place in all languages. But literally, Uranus means starry sky, and Uranus was the father of Kronos, which we also know as Saturn, who was the father of Jupiter.
Okay. Even though we think Jupiter was the first born planet.
Well, that's scientifically. That is scientifically. So really, really interesting story with this planet. And
but what's it made of?
What's
this
it made
is
of?
The big thing. What is
it made of?
Because we call it an ice giant. So, but you know, I think if someone says, oh, it's an ice giant, so I'm thinking this big giant ball of ice. But it isn't, is it? It's not a giant ball of ice.
It's a giant ball of hydrogen, of helium, of methane.
Yeah.
Ammonia.
Yeah.
Water.
Yeah. And they're ices, so they're like the frozen stuff of that. But it's not like a solid ball.
It's like a slushy.
Yeah, it's kind of like a slushy, like a really fine slushy. But the temperature in the core, this is the other thing, even though we call it an ice giant, it's actually still really hot in the core. It's about 5,000 degrees. So a bit cooler than our planet.
How cold is our planet?
5,500 degrees.
Is that Fahrenheit, Celsius, or Kelvin?
There's only one country in the world that uses Fahrenheit. It's not this one.
Oh yeah, okay, then Kelvin it is.
Yeah. So which is actually equivalent to the surface of the sun. So the sun's pretty toasty, and so you've got a similar temperature
actually near the surface of the temperature of the earth. I just asked you the question for whoever is listening, for our one listener.
Yeah, that's when we're talking to schools and you say something, you go, some kid out in the planetarium goes, I knew that, it's good. You knew that, good.
Is this a statement or a question?
Yeah. Right. So it's still pretty hot in the middle, which is obviously not icy because at 5,000 degrees you don't have ice. But of course that's under an immense pressure because that's everything sort of squished down in the middle, and it's getting a little bit cooler the further you get out. So it's kind of like jelly and slushy.
Really?
Yeah. But okay. It's really got a layer of metallic hydrogen, which is similar to what?
What's metallic hydrogen? Like this I do not know.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the weird state that hydrogen's in when you make it hot and you squish it up a lot. So when you're in the middle of these...
Is that when it goes into a superfluid?
Yeah, get into that kind of stuff. So we think it might actually have a small rocky core, but squished up. So and you know, real hot and very high pressures. So kind of this core that's got the same stuff that rock's got in it, but... You know, squished up. A thick mantle of hot water, ammonia and methane. That's pretty weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
And a hydrogen, helium, and a bit of methane atmosphere. We did watch this planetarium show once where they were speculating you could go up there and scoop up helium-3 or something to do with nuclear fusion.
So instead of going to the moon, just go to Uranus.
Because that's closer.
Yeah. Easier
it's
to
not
reach.
Closer, yeah. So the atmosphere, 82% hydrogen, 15% helium, 2-3% methane, and a little bit of water and ammonia. So it, like the other planets of, you know, Jupiter, Saturn, it's mostly hydrogen and helium. And the sun's mostly hydrogen and helium as well. So you've these four big planets, they're mostly made of hydrogen and helium. But it's the little bit extra that's a wee bit different. So whereas Jupiter and Saturn are just about all hydrogen and helium, a tiny bit of other stuff, Uranus and Neptune have a little more helium and a little more methane, a little more ammonia. So one question people ask a lot is about raining diamonds.
Yes.
Yeah, so does it rain diamonds?
But that was on Neptune.
It was Neptune.
Yeah.
But they're both the same. So if Neptune's raining diamonds, then Uranus must be raining diamonds, right?
Would it?
I don't know. Maybe it does. Go scoop them up. It'd make diamonds really cheap, actually, if you scooped up a whole lot of diamonds from there.
I would love to have a jar of diamonds.
It's windy. It's windy there, though. 900 kilometer an hour winds, and it has big storms. In fact, you see those photos that Voyager took when it whizzed past, very quickly whizzed past Uranus. It had some big storms on it. So it does have some big storms. Methane cloud systems.
It's really interesting, the color. So I was reading a paper that was implying that maybe the color of Uranus and Neptune are not that dissimilar, because we always look at Neptune and we see how dark it is, whereas Uranus is a little bit lighter. So really curious to see how next space missions will go there and take some pictures. And there are some amazing pictures from the James Webb telescope as well.
Yeah, yeah. And you can actually see the rings. The rings stand out quite well on James Webb ones, and even Hubble's ones. They show the rings.
And sad fact, it only has been visited one time by Voyager 2.
Yeah.
As sad as Neptune. Two sad planets. Nobody wants to talk to them.
So the diamond rain, it's a possibility. And it's that the methane deep inside Uranus breaks apart into its under that extreme pressure and temperature. And you've got the carbon atoms kind of floating around. And under that pressure, they slowly fall down into the center like rain. And in doing that, they kind of combine together and end up with a bit of diamonds. So the laboratory experiments that have been done kind of suggest that that's plausible. Now, plausible doesn't mean it's actually happening. So don't get too excited about popping up to Uranus with a bucket and collecting up some diamond rain and coming back with a big bucket of diamonds. It might not actually be like that at all. Though you'd have to go pretty deep into the planet, so your bucket's going to melt.
Yeah.
Assuming you've got a plastic bucket, maybe something a bit stronger. Yeah.
Stronger than that. Yeah. And I think that the sad thing is that actually this year we observed 40 years since Voyager 2 visited Uranus. 40 years.
Yeah.
It's a lot of years.
The magnetic field's a bit weird. So the planet's tipped over like 90 degrees, whatever it is, 98 degrees or something. The magnetic field's at about 60 degrees. So it's quite a way off what the axis of rotation is. And so you've got this kind of weird kind of corkscrew effect with the magnetic field. So that's quite strange. What about its moons? You were about to talk about its moons before. There's 29 of them. One of them's called Miranda. We know Miranda, and so one of the moons. I don't think it's named after her, though.
No, and the really interesting thing about Miranda is that it might be a captured dwarf planet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Titania is the largest moon.
Yeah. Ariel, Umbrio, Oberon. And in fact, if you read Shakespeare, it will be much easier to remember all these names.
Oh, are they all from Shakespeare?
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. And
what about Romeo and Juliet?
Alexander Pope. No, there's no Romeo and Juliet.
No Othello. So so which play were they from?
Summer's Dream. Midnight Summer. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That one. Yeah.
We only did Othello at school.
It's cold. It's cold. Anyway.
On that other one with a Danish dude. What was that one?
I don't know.
Oh.
But anyway.
One of the famous ones.
Doesn't matter because Uranus is so far away, it is really, really cold in there. So it's not even near summer temperature.
So it gets about 1/400th of the sunlight the Earth gets.
Oh, that is like a little bit like Wellington on that day, isn't it?
So yeah, you're gonna need big solar panels there. Right.
All
Anyway, well
right.
that's our description of
The
the
most
solar
important
system's
planet
most
in the
famous.
solar system. Yeah, excellent. And I'm sure we have more facts, interesting facts to tell you about, but that will have to wait until a future radio slot.
So clear skies, everyone.
Clear skies, and thank you very, very much for to
Indulging
Harold.
us on this.
Yeah, no, thank you very much to our FM for
Yeah.
supporting our radio show.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star
Safari. Deep Sky Adventures.
In the universe.
Deep Sky.
Deep Sky Adventures.
Star Safari.
Star Safari.
Star Safari. Star Safari.